You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day, a good weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to weather is accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done because you will get it done. Ashe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Of course, there's a shortcut. Whatever search engine you use, Internet Explorer, Firefox, Google, Time for an Awakening, put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. That's on Thursdays and from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, today, this evening at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. The holidays are coming up. Brothers, please go to WeBuyBlack.com. Spend money with us. Send gifts that you purchase from us. And make it known to them that's where they came from. And hopefully they will do the same. We got to do that, family. We got to do it. Brother Bamani Tayemba. He's raring to go. He's leaving on next week, December 24th. Next weekend, rather, December 24th. From December 24th to January 4th, he'll be in Azinia. Some people call it, the Caucasians call it, the Afrikaners call it South Africa. It's Azinia. He'll be in Azinia, December 24th to January 4th. March 29th to April 9th. 2024, Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, 2024, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, Kemet. The same dates, December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinia. April 1st to April 11th, 2025. Yes, he did. He added another one. April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to January. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. That's right, family. Brother Bomani's going to take a trip of brothers and sisters to Brazil. You know, there are more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. That's right. And we don't run nothing there either. But it'd be great to go to Brazil, especially to Salvador Bahia. I'm quite sure that's one of the main places. It ain't about going to Copacabana and Ipanema, you know, the tall Jesus, Corcovado. Yeah. No, it's going to Salvador Bahia, where brothers and sisters have lived and as we lived on the continent. So there's the trips with AfricaForTheAfricans.org. He's ready to go. He's leaving next weekend. But brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. HabashahIncorporated.org. Know what they're doing here in the Atlanta area with the Habashah Works Program, Black to Our Roots. Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. Knowing, too, and find out what they're doing on the continent with the Kashi Project in Ghana, which they launched last year in October. HabashahIncorporated.org. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Brothers and sisters, the Ledge Group works in the four areas of human necessity, of human viability, of without it, it ain't happening, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries and over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become the member of the Ledge Group. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Go to ledgegroup.com. Abibia Tumi. Abibitumi, abibiatumi.com. And of course, brother and Abibiatumi, they, you know, I tell you, go to the website, abibiatumi.com, and see for yourself what the brothers and sisters are doing on the continent in Ghana. Abibiatumi is transforming digital ideas into uncolonizable physical realities. Uncolonizable physical realities by focusing on tangible manifestations of ideas that resist colonization, emphasizing self-sufficiency, encouraging cultural empowerment, and preserving indigenous knowledge. Abibia Tumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. Smy Pharmacy is still down. Brother Jabril, his website is still down. So we're going right to the Moses West Foundation. Brothers and sisters, please go to the Moses West Foundation.org. This brother needs our assistance. He's going to provide clean, usable, renewable water. Even though, because of climate change, many of the rivers and reservoirs and lakes and so forth are down big time. But water is in the air. Water is all around us. What Moses West has done is create the atmospheric water generating technology. The Moses West Foundation is the innovator in global sustainability, guided by the vision of Moses West, that clean water is a fundamental human right. It should not be monetized. This is a necessity. It's a fundamental human right. Our mission is to leverage cutting-edge atmospheric water generation, AWG, technology to provide essential water access, foster community development, and promote environmental responsibility. And there's so much more. Go to the Moses West Foundation. Water's all around us. The only problem with water is accessibility to it. It's not a shortage of water.
Yes, I know, Brother Oshi is saying, you know, it's not a shortage of water when you look at and hear some of the things that they say. But because of this man, and I'm quite sure there's some other technologies, too, that are available that are producing water, as far as I understand. But this brother is on it, the AWG technology, the Moses West Foundation. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, in the West End, on Ralph David Abernathy. And they have smoothies and fruit drinks and dry goods, all kind of good stuff. On Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan dishes right here in the West End, right on Ralph David Abernathy. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And that's my good sister, Mama Nia. And she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, off of I-20. Take I-20 going east towards Augusta. Exit 74. Make a left onto Main Street. You're headed north, and about a mile on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, owned by my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. He has delicious Cameroon boil, the red, black, and green shoes, a fine selection of books, postcards, T-shirts, and so forth. Give him a call at 770-305-6373, 770-305-6373. Both of those bookstores, if they don't have the book on hand, they will get it. Believe me, they've done it. I know this. All right, get back in your ride, head back the opposite direction. Now you're headed south, make a left again, and you're headed east. The very next exit, exit 75. Turner Hill Road, take that exit, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. We're going to have Kwanzaa there for almost the whole week, thanks to Mama Nabantu. I'll be there at least three times more at the new Black Wall Street Market, celebrating Kwanzaa. Ashe. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Last night, their Thursday night broadcast from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The number to call if you want to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. 2789. It's us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Also, too, I announced my good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad's program on Blog Talk Radio, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. His program from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. The number to call is 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Homeland Village. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Brother B just got it going on, family. He's open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. He's got furniture, he's got clothing, his beauty products, CDs, DVDs. Oh, man, he's got it all. In fact, he even has a vegan restaurant on his premise, man. It's the Homeland Village right there in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Contact my sister, Shelly Amonset. The holidays and times are coming. I'm telling you, family, please support American African business. 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. That's Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sister Gabriella Aurelia, Sister Gabby is doing an outstanding job of providing the necessities for our children in Haiti. In the northeastern portion of Haiti, go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay-Haiti.org, and see for yourself the thing, the work that she's doing. And I'm quite sure you will agree, and hopefully you will support. You will support. Baba Baruni Mama Ya, Akabin Institute, the school that they have, and, of course, Akabin House, where you can buy some of the books. Go to Akabin House to see the myriad of books that this brother Z is a prolific writer. And, in fact, I'm about to read from the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 14th. Although we live in a society with other ethnicities, including Europeans, there is no reason why we Africans should allow them to join us in everything we do. Can't we Africans have at least one thing for us without them being there? Brother Inshange. The idea that we are here to introduce Yorugu to a spiritual side and humanize them is about as revolutionary as committing suicide to make our enemies feel bad about how they treat us. The most prominent strategy in this self-appointed ministry is reflected in the white face syndrome, a progressively regressive condition causing Africans to believe that Yorugu must be a part of or be at every activity Africans have. Such sentiment is based on the probability that some of us will rub off on some of them. This is no more than the other side of the sub-integrationist effort to infiltrate them as emissaries of human compassion in hopes of using moral suasion, to make them feel guilty enough to love us. Accordingly, our life's work comes down to little more than saving them from themselves. As always in this insanity, even consciousness still enslaves some of us. Europeans remain at the center of our thought and behavior. Our ancestors were not beaten, raped, murdered, fractured. They did not suffer the indignation of deculturalization and dehumanization for us to save their destroyers. That would only be a cross voluntarily borne by vanquished, menticidal slaves, regardless of their knowledge base. Shay. Affirm, destroyers are unwelcome in my personal or communal space. Affirm, destroyers are unwelcome in my personal or communal space. Brothers and sisters, don't allow to call none of that. None of it. December 15th. Fighting unjust wars against oppressed people at home and abroad is one of the few remaining barriers between American African men and total obsolescence. Sam Yeti. My father once taught me that at one time in a society, horses were highly prized. They were valued because of their productive power and for the speed at which they could transport people, information, and goods. They were even considered so important that to steal one brought capital punishment. Then along came the steam and gas combustion engines and wire communications. Horses lost their advantage and value and were reduced to ingredients for dog food. He told me that African men and women took a similar route. When Yorugu wanted to turn this space into theirs, build a profitable plantocracy, and overrun the world with mercenaries and their wares, we were commercially invaluable. However, once they felt secure in their empire and their ability to locate less troublesome labor, we lost our value to them and were reduced to fodder for their couches, crutches, corners, stages, playing fields, and prison industrial complex. We have forgotten this record and the truth of who we were before them. How could any people have fallen to the minocidal error of being so concerned with who else needs them that they find it next to impossible to believe in their own vision of sovereignty? This could only happen to a people lost in another people's dream, where their only role in life is providing the true dreamers with means of attaining their dreams. Affirm, I make myself needed in service to the greatest people who ever lived. Ashe. Affirm, I make myself needed in the service to the people, to the greatest people who ever lived. December 16th. Unless African people change their thinking, we will be phased out of existence like obsolete equipment. Olamenji. The argument has been put forth that internationally, Africans are viewed as no more than slave labor, and whoever controls that labor will rule the world. Interestingly, no other people is viewed in this way. This is one of the main reasons why Europeans, Arabs, Asians are now fighting over the African continent and its human resources. Sadly, so many of us are competing with each other to welcome aliens into our homeland. Apparently, many of us are mesmerized by these smiling predator faces. Imagine such incredible historical stupidity. Damn. Affirm, I fight for the autonomous self-control of African labor. Affirm, I fight for the autonomous self-control of African people's labor. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's Baba Mwalimu Baruti. Brother Baruti. I'm looking for, I have a guest today. I'm looking for Brother Ramesses of the Brothers of Kwanzaa. The Brothers of Kwanzaa. It is a group coming out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Brother Gerald Braxton founded the group, the Brothers of Kwanzaa, and they operated out of West Division High School. My daughter went to West Division High School. That's right. And so let me see what's happening with this brother right here. Let me hold on, family. So, So we are going to be chatting with him about Brothers of Kwanzaa, and in fact, there he is, Brother Ramesses. How you doing,
Brother Oshi?
How are you?
Good to hear you. I'm great. I just wanted to call in and say, on behalf of Brothers of Kwanzaa, but more so from myself personally, I wanted to call to say thank you for always being a solid brother and doing what you say you'll do, for lending your insight and your wisdom and your energy to our mission, and showing up and showing out on our podcast last week.
Well, I appreciate that.
Baba Oshi, to the listeners, if they don't know, Baba Oshi, Gerald Braxton, who's our founder, another member, Obi Ifatunji, and Dr. James Ferguson of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They held court on the principles of Kwanzaa, because it's coming up soon, and how they've used it in obtaining personal and professional success. And he had so very much to say, so much to contribute, as always. So on behalf of our organization, we say thank you and extend our gratitude.
Well, thank you, dear brother. I've always, been in support of what Brother Brax is doing. You know, he is a Jegna, not a mentor. He is a Jegna. And that word, remember we talked about that when we had the conversation, that's the word that we need to use when we talk about men and women working with our youth, working with young people and encouraging them, motivating them, inspiring them, leading them in the right direction to be men and to be women to support all the programs that will propel us into the future. We need Jegna's, and you are one. And that in the group, it, by its very design, is a group of Jegnox. That's plural for Jegna's, you know. And so I'm happy to be one of them. I'm happy to be associated with them and to provide this, you know, information. I've always tried to provide a historical perspective because I believe that as you learn about Kwanzaa, and I know that they know about the history of Kwanzaa to some degree, and that's a requirement, you know, to be a member of the Brothers of Kwanzaa. But there's so much more, you know, that that even beyond Malana Karinga and all the other people who are involved in Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is not his, it is ours. Kwanzaa is a American-African created holiday using the principles. Well, you go ahead and say to the audience what Kwanzaa is and what Brothers of Kwanzaa is about, okay?
Okay, all right, well, first off, Brothers of Kwanzaa was started in the early 90s. It's one of the longest running youth prevention intervention programs in the U.S. It was created to address a lot of issues and combat the plight of the African-American male that at the time was being ignored by society. And to get the youth and communities involved in the in changing these five social indicators that impact our lives, whether we're aware of them or not. And these indicators are health, education, employment, crime, and life expectancy. And we look at those as they're reported by the Department of Health and Human Services and how they've changed over time. And we alter, or I shouldn't say alter, but we adjust the program to address these issues head on and, create actionable activities that teach our youth about these indicators and how they can deal with them personally. The program, and now we have a model that was subsequently developed, is a product of over two decades of social work and clinical psychology development, research, and implementation. But what's really exciting now is what we want to do with our next 20 years, because we've already been in the game for over 20 years. With our next 20 years, we want to dedicate our efforts to providing training for the non-therapist. That means the layperson, the work, the group home monitor, the correctional facility staff, teachers, social workers, that kind of thing. There is a model that was developed by Gerald Braxton to assist in setting up these programs in any institution that you find yourself in that are proven to create positive change in group members. And I do have a statistic here just to show that this program does work, not to say that we were instrumental in creating this change, but to say that change is positive change is happening. In the year 2000, the dropout rate was roughly 13%. Now it's currently at 6% for our children. So
right on.
I think that's pretty
right
on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tremendous. Yeah. Good.
But we teach this program, and it happens in three phases. We have orientation, actualization, and implementation. Those are like jumbled words, but it's basically about setting the right tone within the group, teaching them the seven key principles of growth, or in this case, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, that's how we derive our name, and allowing members to create activities based on what they've learned. And these activities are formulated to create positive change within the members, because it's kind of like a moment of empowerment. You know, some of these members didn't realize that they had the power or the abilities to create the things that they create. I know that I didn't as an alumnus at the time. I know I didn't have the abilities to do some of the things that I pulled off at the time, but it was a really eye-opening moment because it changed my self-concept forever.
And you've done a great job, son. You really have done a great job, man. Yeah, and as well as the other brothers of Kwanzaa over the years, of many years. And I don't know when when Brax first brought me in, but it was in the 90s,
Yeah.
And every time I've been asked, or every time I've asked him to come in, for me to come in to talk and to inform and just to socialize with you young men, I was always enriched. So I really appreciate that.
Well, I think that, because I don't necessarily remember how you addressed us or what you said. I don't recall the words, but what I recall is that you were present, that you never missed a beat when it came time to showing up. And just that gesture alone was inspirational to me because, I'm a millennial. I came from a generation where most of us didn't have fathers, our fathers were off in the world somewhere, and so it was important to see brothers like you who were doing things with their lives and earning a living and, driving nice cars and being well put together, articulate and purpose driven, and standing on something that meant something good instead of just like,
right.
Selling dope or pimping at the time. So it was, right. It was important just to see you and then realizing like, oh man, I want to be you in some way, in some fashion, I want to emulate that. In short, it kind of gave us a space to develop as men because we wanted to model you, that was the thing. Role models was a thing. And so, yeah, unknowingly you were a role model. You were an inspiration to me.
Well, I appreciate that. And that's what I try to be and to be consistent. I recognize the things that you're bombarded with on a daily basis, challenges and so forth, and attacks on your Africanness or your blackness, and so you need men and women to help fortify you, to help shield you, to help you get the armor to go out there and do what you have to do, and not just for your lives, but for the lives of us as a people, because of course that's it, the service that you give to others. And I've witnessed that with you and the other young men of the Brothers of Kwanzaa, because that's what Kwanzaa is about. Kwanzaa is about sharing. Kwanzaa is about the first fruit of the harvest. Kwanzaa is about unity and self-determination and collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. That's what Kwanzaa is about. And if we put those things in our everyday lives, imagine how far we would be as a people.
Well, in the program, we realized that it impacted us positively overall. I don't know if the listeners are aware, but it was those seven principles that we relied upon when we held discussions or created activities, or even when you came in to speak, it wasn't just to speak on some random topic. It was, this is my personal experience, but I'm relating it to this particular principle that you're studying this week. And we had these activities twice a week for an hour. They allowed us to have that time out of class in order to be educated, in the way these principles could give us certain powers, if we allowed ourselves to learn them, and then if we learned how to use them. And so it was brothers like you that came in to show us how to use them with great effect.
Yeah, because you need that. We need that. Imagine if young men, aside from just at your school, but from other schools, and I know y'all did a lot of outreach to some middle schools and so forth. And I know that Brax wanted to try the best to get it as in many places as possible so he could influence a lot more young men into understanding how important it is to work with one another.
And so that's the next phase of the game. When I was younger, the technology wasn't as it is now.
Yes.
And so now that I'm solid in my profession as a digital content strategist, I've taken my skill set and, lend it to Brothers of Kwanzaa. And, I'm assisting them in their digital transformation, meaning a lot of them, okay, a lot of their media was analog based. It was on VHS tapes and things like that. We've digitized all that stuff. We've made it cloud based now. We're using data to determine where our efforts can be most appreciated, most optimized, so that we aren't just spinning our wheels. And so I've learned how to empower others because it gave me a sense of empowerment, right? And so I felt I don't want to say indebted, but obligated,
right,
to make sure that this kind of program is sustained, because it was such a positive element in my life. Who's to say that we can't impact others? And so the ultimate effort is scale out. You know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin was a point in space and time, but now we're looking to make this thing nationwide, if God willing. And, you know, we're reaching out to people who are looking to get that kind of training to implement a program comparable within their institution.
Sure. And yeah. I'll do what all I can do from this platform to help make that a reality, to give you guys everything that from this platform, the information that would go out, you know, and have discussions and so forth, and set things up to make that a reality, because that's what has to happen. I agree.
Yeah. You continue to be exemplary, let me tell you. I just, you know, an example that one should follow, you know, and that's the thing. It's not necessarily these grandiose efforts that make a difference. Sometimes it's the small things, man.
Sure,
I believe
sure.
in the ingenuity of our youth. Our youth are so sharp, man. They pick up on things and they know how to use things in ways nobody else has thought about doing. It's just a matter of exposing them to the small things, such as people that believe in them, you know, somebody who reaffirms their humanity, you know, somebody who comes in and says, hey, brother, you are worthy of good things in life, you know, and don't talk down on yourself. You come from a great lineage of people. Your blood is royal somewhere down the line, you know, and you connected many of us who were tied into a system that continued to subjugate us. You tied us into something greater than ourselves, and you let us know that our present state was nothing compared to the continuum that we belong to. And it was, I'm telling you, it was so impactful. All of the things that were said that were not being said, just from brothers showing up, man. Just from brothers showing up and telling us that they were going to do something, and they did it, and they followed through on it. And that's so important. It speaks volumes to these young people, man. I know it spoke to me.
Oh, yes, it definitely does. You know, that's a problem within the society. We don't have men who are men of their word, women of their word, and we need that. We need brothers and sisters who will step to the plate, say they're going to do something, and they follow through with it, you know. They don't half-ass shit. They follow through. And young people see that, and they begin to trust that. You know, I think one of the things that, since I moved here to Atlanta, you know, one of the elders, esteemed elders in this community, Baba Kelsey, you know, he's like 94, maybe I think older now, of course.
Wow.
And yeah, he's strong, man. And he's a strong voice, you know. And he said to me, which, you know, which is very important and it warmed my heart. He said, since you've been here, you've been consistent. You've been at the, you know, your voice and your presence in this community has been consistent. You know, I believe in African liberation. I believe in African self-determination. I believe in African sovereignty. And to me, that's important. And for those who I work with, I want to impart that information as well, that, you know, we have all that we need. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds, you know. Mm. And if our minds were right, then we could change these dynamics in an instant. But because we're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of our inability and inferiority. You know, some of us still believe that Caucasians saved us, that because we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our
nose. And a bone in our nose, yep. Right? Oh, my God, yeah. That nonsense.
Yeah.
But see, that was the thing. That's what dispelled a lot of that fuss. I mean, it's one thing to talk about, you know, the great scholars and the people who write these books, that let us know that we come from something greater. But it's another thing to see something greater standing in front of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's another thing to see a brother who's showing up, taking days off of work to address you personally or address the group that you belong to, you know, and letting you know that you're something greater too. You know, it's not.
Hold on, Brother Ramesses. Hey, Brother Paul, how are you doing?
Listen, I apologize for cutting in, but you know, on the radio, over the internet, Elliot Shulkin.
Brother Paul, you broke up.
Cutting in out, it's like you can hear you, then Elliot Show cuts in. I don't know if other people.
Oh, well, thank you for that information. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. You know, on the internet, yeah?
Uh-huh. Brother Paul is calling in from
Elliot
the UK.
Show, some show, you keep cutting in. It's like you talk and that shuts in, and then you talk and it cuts in. I don't know what's going on. I'll let you know.
Wow. I tell you what, this is what we're going to do.
Did you hear that? It's cutting in now. I don't know.
I tell you what we can do. Thank you, Brother Paul. I tell you what we can do, Brother Ramesses, is that we can, if that is the case, maybe start the program. Shit. You know, if there's a problem, because we have a number of people already in the queue, if there's a problem, because once again, I'm saying for us to go right to timeforanawakening.com, and on the right side of the page, there's the link, and you hit the button, and then the program. So we're not going through TuneIn anymore. We're going through Time for an Awakening. If you're not having a problem, let me contact. Brother Jay, you hear me? Can you, how's the program sound to you? Is there a flow?
I'm listening to it on the phone. I don't have the TuneIn app on.
I don't use TuneIn. I don't suggest we even go to TuneIn anymore. My contention is that we go right to Time for an Awakening. On the website, on the right side of the page, is the link that you hit to listen to the radio program from timeforanawakening.com. That ain't nothing to do with TuneIn. So there that is. But it sounds okay to you.
Well, from the phone, it sounds perfect.
Okay. Thank you, Jay.
Right.
Brother Paul. Maybe. Brother Paul, there's this.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's strange, very strange, because it's like you talk, and it's almost like he's coordinated, and then Brother Elliot Show come. I think it's one he done with the farmers, and then that cuts in, and then you talk, and then it cuts in again, and it's just weird. So you're not really getting a. I don't know what's going on, man, but that's what's happening.
All right, Brother Paul, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right,
Brother Lux, Ted, how you doing? Brother Ted, he must be away from his phone. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Brother Ted. How does the program sound?
Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you, brother.
I hear Paul in and out. I heard Jay pretty straightforward. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you straightforward. Prior to Paul coming on, how does the program sound to you?
It was sounding regular because I'm on the phone, too.
Okay. Because maybe it's something with the computer, for those who are on the computer, because everybody else is on the phones. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, my brother.
I'm still listening.
All right, brother. Thank you. Yeah, Brother Paul, so I don't know, man. For those who are listening, who have dialed in, you know, they're, because once again, when you go right direct to Time for an Awakening, not TuneIn, because TuneIn was cutting away from the program with commercials, and so everybody was going into timeforanawakening.com, and the flow was going on. That's what you did, right, Brother Paul? Okay, well, he's not there. Well, Ramesses, let's continue with the discussion.
Sure.
You know, I can't say enough about.
No, I'm not on TuneIn. I don't use TuneIn. I use the link, which is
connected. You don't use TuneIn. Good. So what did you say? Because you broke up bad. Paul?
We could be able to develop business that be tied in.
Yeah, I hear.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's a bad connection.
Yeah. Okay, well, go ahead and cut off, and I'm going to deal with this program for these brothers and sisters on here.
Hello, I don't know what's going on, Brother Ochi, but the internet is just, I've never experienced that before on this link. I'm not using TuneIn.
Okay.
It's just strange, very strange.
Okay. All right, dear brother. Thank you. Yeah. Technology, man, as you know, Brother Ramesses, that is your area of expertise.
It can be temperamental, to say the least. Yeah, it could be a couple different things. Maybe we can troubleshoot it at another time. You let me know when you have some time. We can look it
up. Sure. I appreciate that. And uh-huh. But I know that we want to use the technology to transform us instead of using the technology seriously for entertainment, anything like that. We need information. And we need information to help move us forward, help guide us, help bring us together, you know. And I know, since I've been doing this, and I've been doing this now for 9 years. Yeah, I've been doing this for about 9 years. I did it right before I left Milwaukee. I left Milwaukee in around October of 2014, you know. And I was trying to do it prior to that, you know. And then when I started doing it, I got on Blog Talk Radio through a good friend, a good sister, Queenie Fama. She's an ancestor now, but I got on Blog Talk Radio. And then Brother Ralph out of Philadelphia heard my program, and then he turned me on to Brother Elliot and Brother Richard with Time for an Awakening. And they progressed with Time for an Awakening in terms of how they broadcast as well, because we were broadcasting out of TuneIn. Are you familiar with TuneIn Radio?
Yes.
Yeah. And so what was happening with TuneIn in the last few years that they were cutting away because, you know, nobody was getting the one that you paid money for, and I would suggest that you didn't, that they were getting one that was free, and so they were cutting away and presenting commercials. But now Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, they're on timeforanawakening.com, and on the right side of the page you hit that button, as you did, right, and you can hear the program. You can hear uninterrupted, commercial free. And so that's the way we're trying to flow.
I'd just like to say that I don't disagree with you whatsoever. I think that the information is always key, you know, especially when we live in a sea of information and some of it conflicts itself. You know, you have a hard time finding out what is truth and what is not. But I think what's even more important to push the point even more is to say that it's about turning it into something actionable.
Right.
You know, how can you take the information and create a plan and implement it, act towards something that will make a difference, you know? And then how do you measure that you've made a difference? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to be able to measure the conditions that you're fighting against. And then secondly, you have to be able to measure those conditions after you've implemented your plan to determine whether or not what you're doing even makes an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very key, man, being able to have that kind of thinking. And I'm very grateful that I was able to develop in that way. critically. And
right.
You know, that was one of the things that the program granted us, is that to always look at things not just for face value.
Right. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. It's at the top of the hour. And you stay with us, Brother Ramesses, and appreciate you. And we're going to take a break, a musical break. And then when we come back, I got a number of people who are in the queue, and we'll hear from them of what they think about the program that you are involved with, Brothers of Kwanzaa, and what it does, and how maybe they can contact Brother Brax and yourself and develop a Brothers of Kwanzaa program in their community. You know?
Hey, I'm excited for the. I'm excited, man. Let's do it.
All right. All right, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And before we go to this break, I'm going to play, you know, this is, you know, I will be playing the Kwanzaa songs that I play every year from from Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka, the Seven Principles. You can go online, you can go to YouTube, put in Seven Principles, and the beautiful voice of Sister Shavinduka, man, and she I'm telling you, for real, she has a beautiful voice. And so you can listen to the Kwanzaa songs, the Seven Principles. Every one of them is, you know, each song. And but now, and also too, Teddy Pendergrass wrote a Kwanzaa song. So I'm going to be playing that. But there's a couple of Christmas songs. I ain't into the Christmas, but there's some Christmas songs from my, you know, my 70 years of being on the planet that always stuck with me. And I have four favorites. And Nat King Cole's Christmas song, Temptations, Silent Night, Donny Hathaway, This Christmas, and Curtis Blow from 1979, the Christmas song. So prior to Kwanzaa coming up, I'm going to play one each day for the next few days. I got three more days next week, so I'm going to do that. Today we're going to play The Temps, Silent Night. So brothers and sisters, enjoy.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
joyous day. As I sit around by the fireplace, watching the gleaming tree, if I had one wish in this world, it would be that all men would be free. Let's all hold hands. Let's celebrate Mother and the Savior. Let's give thanks to all our family and friends. I want you to remember this line.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to all of you.
And we mean it now.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to all of you.
Merry Christmas from the Temptations.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Silent Night by the Temptations. Like I said, there's a few those holiday songs that I have loved over the many, many years. And I play Nat King Cole's Christmas song and Donny Hathaway This Christmas. And, of course, Curtis Blow from 1979. I saw a documentary piece about Curtis Blow talking about how that all happened. But we're going to get back to our guest, Brother Ramesses Jones, with the Brothers of Kwanzaa. And I'm going to ask you, Brother Ramesses, to give us a quick synopsis again of what Brother Kwanzaa is about, how it formed, and what it's been doing over these years.
All right. So Brothers of Kwanzaa was created in the 90s. And it was a youth prevention intervention program. It was used to address the plight of African American males. We looked at health, education, employment, crime, and life expectancy. And we created activities for youth that were based on the seven principles of Kwanzaa that showed them how to engage and combat those five social indicators that impacted their lives in a positive way. There were field trips, there were learning aids, there were speaking engagements, Jeg Knocks coming in to speak with us and teach us, you know, the values of what we were learning and showing us a more positive example, you know. And ultimately, it became a space where we could develop our self-concept, because many of us didn't have one, or we had one, but it was distorted. It was like a funhouse mirror, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Based on street philosophies and drug culture philosophies and things like that. And then we had brothers who were professionals who were community-oriented that came in and spoke, you know, against that. I don't want to say directly against that, but they just showed us that there were some fallacies in the conclusions we were making about life in a time that was very formative for us. And it became a great source of inspiration and purpose for me as a, as an individual. I got started in middle school. And then in high school, I was also in the same program, and it just really guided me in a tough time in my life. And now in the next couple of years, what we're looking to do is, well, first, we have built out a training. It's called a learning module. We put that together. It's online at our website, which is Brothers of Kwanzaa. That's www.brothersofkwanzaa.com. And that's Kwanzaa with one A at the end. If you go there, you'll not only hear the great presentation that Baba Oshi put together with us in a podcast, but you'll also see, you know, our mission statement, our philosophy, more on the founder, and of course, a guest book if you're you know, so kind to sign it. We'll get back to you with more information.
Okay, family. The phone lines are open. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. There's a number of you in the queue already. Hit star twice, and that'll open your phone line up, and you can ask some questions to Brother Ramesses Jones, about Brothers of Kwanzaa or anything that, or any information that you want to provide. So give us a call. And those who are in the queue, sometimes people in the queue don't want to talk. They just want to listen. And I have no problem with that. You know, we need folks to listen. Why did Brax only use one A? I know two A's were a second A was added because of the principle. Hey, yes, go ahead, Brother Paul. Is that problem still happening?
Sorry. You know what? It's strange. It kind of corrected itself. I refreshed the browser, and then.
But you're breaking up real. You're breaking up.
It was strange because it was just it was about Elliot's show previously just cutting in and out, so I can't even explain what was going on there.
Yeah, you're breaking up real bad on me, Brother Paul. Unfortunately.
Let me phone you back.
Okay, brother. Thank you. Mama Nabantu, how are you? Mama Nabantu? Okay, hold on to that. Brother Paul, how's that? That sounds better, man.
Okay, I'd use a different system. Okay, good. Bob Olchi, greetings to you and greetings to your guest.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, let me be honest with you. I'm since I've become getting involved in certain organizations, I became aware of Kwanzaa, but I wasn't always aware of it. It has a lot of supporters on this side of the pond.
Good.
Yeah, it does, and especially with those who are involved in certain conscious movements. We have certain chapters of the UNIA here. We have Nation of Islam, obviously, we're groups and other groups, you know what I mean? So I know it's here. And, you know, I wasn't aware of it until I started to get myself involved with certain people. But before I get to the root of my question, I'd like to ask your guest, what he articulated with his work with how he described the young African-American males, what would he say was his major successes with those groups?
Getting them to believe in themselves, and they filled in the blanks. There's a fight over your own mind as an African-American youth. You know, you not only is there a fight for your identity, but there's also a fight for your own peace, your own resolution. You know, you want to be resolved so that you are confident in the decisions you're making, and you know that you know, the decisions you're making will not only benefit you positively, but also reflect positively on those that have come before you, right? And so there's a lot that goes into decision making, and understanding the gravity of those decisions is important, right? So I think one of the major, for me personally, I think allowing the youth to see that they can do it and that they are worthy of success, and that it's within them. It's not something that they have to buy. It's not something that they have to submit themselves to. It is everything that they need to be successful is already present in their own life. And for me to be an agent of that awareness for them was a major success for me. Now, with the program itself, one of the things that it prides itself in is heightening the ability of the youth to make critical decisions or be more critical in their thinking, rather. Meaning, instead of taking information for its face value, we encourage the youth to learn how to deconstruct information and look at it more symbolically or implicitly, so that they can make decisions that they understand aren't just for now, or they aren't just capricious decisions, but rather they are decisions that they understand will impact them in the long run for better or worse. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did in a way. But I mean, the reason why I asked it, because I'm not saying I'm an expert in Kwanzaa, but I've heard those who support it, and there's a couple people who are against it. And the reason why I want to raise this, because one particular person over on this side of the pond who's on the radio, and I would suggest he's quite an outspoken type of we call them presenters, radio presenters, and he speaks a lot on issues which concern community and stuff. But he every time this period comes around, he goes into one on Karenga. And the thing, what I don't get with him, me personally, is that obviously we all have our critics. We aren't all perfect, and the information he's getting is obviously from the internet. And he talks about this being CIA involvement and all the rest of it, yeah, which I hear.
Okay.
But what I don't understand, you know, during the time when this the whole Kwanzaa movement was set up, those who read into it, who looked at it properly, it goes without saying there was a lot of strife and a lot of conflict, which is not unusual for most establishing most things or most organizations. No one always agrees. Even sometimes you form the same group and that group splits. You see it across all kind of dimensions. You understand? But
yeah.
He is representative of a few people like that, a few people who are supposedly conscious, who seem to always grasp at the so non-progressive side of it and can't see that the overall objective was trying to be met. And we do have strife. We do have these things. We do have fallouts. We do have things which we don't too often, not too pretty what goes on. But the reality of it is, for me, maybe I'm naive, that the, like what you're talking about now, you use the concept to help, for a program to help young African-American males, which I've never heard that before on this side of the pond, which
wow.
appealed, but not that type of concept. It comes across to me as like a period of time, like this period of time we use it to give us unity and all the concepts it brings with it. But the way you use the program is something different. I've never heard that before. And in my mind, for the young people, especially young black males in this country, for instance, we have a higher proportion of knife and gun crime, more knife crime. And unfortunately, especially in London, it's to do with gangs and it's to do with nefarious activity among black males. And it's horrible, because you get, you know, they're young, 14, it starts, even younger, some 12 to 30, and it's just day after day, week after week, you hear it. And you just wonder, you know, I got two sons myself and I got grandsons. And it's worrying, man. It's just so worrying. You know what I mean? I come from the same era as they come from. I never had to kill anybody or, you know, shoot anybody or stab anybody. But I was on the street. But the reality of it is just too frequent. And you know, when I listen to you, I'm saying, well, you know, we have programs, we have initiatives, loads of them. But the reality of it is, I like the African-centered focus of it. And have you ever thought of expanding it, your program, outside of your boundaries?
Absolutely. That is the next phase where we are. With the next 20 years, we want to dedicate it to teaching people who are working within the institutions on your side of the pond, how to implement these programs, set them up so that perhaps they can engage these troubled youth that are engaging in knife violence. Brother, where did you say you were from?
I'm from East London, east of London. That's what we call it, East London. That's where I was born. That's where I grew up. I'm very working
and
class.
If you could say, where's this problem, this with the knife violence with the 14 and 15 year olds?
You know what I would do, right? Because your Kwanzaa theme, you're using Kwanzaa as a vehicle. I would put you in touch with some people I feel that who are more astute and more established than me. Like one what comes to mind is we call him. What's his name again? I forget his name, but he's part of the UNIA. And, you know, those people and, you know, they're more, that's who I'd like you to speak to, because maybe you could work together to establish these type programs. And I think that's what we need to do.
Absolutely.
And the reason
I would agree with you.
Why I think that, I remember, and it always sticks with me, a group of young people came here from Baltimore. I listen to, like, for instance, WON, and all I hear is the problems of Baltimore. I know that them problems aren't unique in Baltimore, but the reality of it is that I remember some young people came here from Baltimore, and I heard them on the radio, speak on the radio. And I can't, when I was listening to them, their tone of voice, I've spent time in New York, and their tone of voice had dropped very much. You know what I mean? They spoke very quietly, and I was kind of shocked by that. And I know, because I know in their native they wouldn't be speaking like that if they were in Baltimore. But the reality of it is, what came to my mind is sometimes when you take people out of their comfort zone, no matter how tough and how bad they think they are, mm-hmm. and they meet other people like them,
right,
from a different culture, slightly different thing, it kind of mellows mm-hmm. them. They're not too sure how this functions, how it works. And I thought that was, I think more of that, like a correspondence thing needs to go on, where we had a group of young people who they were taken to Gambia, right? And it had mm-hmm. a good effect right. on them. You understand? They're taken out of their comfort zone, and you know what I mean? And where the dynamics are different. You can't behave like you really want to behave because you don't know who's who, or you don't know how they're going to respond to you, and you have no backup and them sort of things. Them sort of things kind of change the way you see things. Sometimes Absolutely. Make you realize you're not as tough as you think you are, or there's maybe some people tougher than you in this world.
In order for you to grow in your thinking and understanding, you have to relinquish what you already know, thereby entering into a place where you aren't in your comfort zone anymore. You have to come out of your comfort zone so that you can achieve better knowledge or more knowledge, right? And that happens in our process of maturation as men and women. But, you know, you got to learn a lot of hard lessons, and those hard lessons often come by knocking you off your equilibrium. You got to be uncomfortable in order to embrace better practices. But I wanted to go back to your initial concern about whether we subscribe to Karinga's views or his opinions on things or how he handled himself. You know, what I want to say is that we subscribe as much as we acknowledge the seven principles. We are not a political organization. We are not politically affiliated, nor are we necessarily a religious organization. We have taken the tenets of Kwanzaa because we believe that they work. Now, for the radio personality who has very scathing views about Karinga, I would simply ask him, from a very subjective matter, Does he believe in unity, self-determination, collective works and responsibilities, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith? And are these virtues that one should have? Are these principles that one should live by, regardless of how they use them? You know, because I do think that, and that is how the program works. We look at these various principles, and we develop activities, and we develop discussions. You know, we take the idea of self-determination, and we pose it to those 14, 15-year-olds, and we ask them, well, why are you so determined to destroy someone that looks like you? Why are you so determined to be violent as a form of resolution? What is it in you that you have to do that? And do you believe that there is a better way? Because, of course, there are ramifications that could be negative. You could do a lot of time. You could forfeit your entire life if the sentence is harsh enough. You know, and through these dialogues, and these aren't lectures, by the way, these aren't discussions held by adults. These are simply framed by adults. We may have them watch a video and then hand it over to them and say, okay, you and your peers discuss it, you and your peers. And what we find is that these troubled youth have never been put in a position where their views and opinions have been on even keel respected. You know, they've yearned to be heard and respected. But now, given the opportunity, they arrive at all kind of new revelations within themselves and people that surround them. They develop a better appreciation for everyone simply because they are in a position now. They're in a scenario where they feel valued. And so they develop a value for themselves and they develop a value for others. And that's just one occurrence. Of course, we have six other principles that we can talk about, and there's a multitude of ways we can engage them, but it's not necessarily religious based or politically based. It's just using what is positive, these positive principles, and applying them in ways to create a positive change within the youth.
Yes, it's needed. It's very much needed, trust me, because wow, you know, I really don't know the answer. Like you rightfully say, I mean, I really don't know why you want to spend so much time in prison and just wreck your life like that. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But it's really happening, and we know it's happening. So we need these solutions, and I really like that idea.
Brother, I would love to speak with your people over at the UNIA, if that's possible. I'd love to sit down and talk with them and see how we can come up with something that would be beneficial for the community. If you'd be so kind to visit our website and just sign the guest book. You don't have to do a whole lot. Poke around, learn more about us, and then sign the guest book. That way we have your email, and I'll reach back out to you.
Yeah, definitely. I'll do that.
All right, Brother Paul.
Okay, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Brother Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up? What's up, old? Hey. I just tuned in, man. I've been popping in and out. I've been getting calls. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what your topic is.
Today. Yeah, we're talking about the Brothers of Kwanzaa, a program of men, and particularly men working with our youth and using the Kwanzaa principles as a foundation. That's what we're talking about. It started in Milwaukee.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
started in Milwaukee, and I've been involved, and I have with me one of the young men that I've met way back when, who now is helped to lead the charge, and that's Brother Ramesses Jones with Brothers of Kwanzaa.
Well, I know Karenga's on his worldwide tour
Kwanzaa.
I heard him earlier. I think it was this week or last week on the Nelson show, and I know
he was on Carl Nelson already. Well, let me just say this about that, because I know that I did a presentation at the Shrine of the Black Madonna a few years ago, and basically what I said is that Milana Karenga doesn't own Kwanzaa. There are many people, and on this program, and I'll have Brother Bashir Mchawi on out of New York again, and Sister Akina here in Atlanta, who knows Sister Arcana, who was a sister who helped promote Kwanzaa while Karenga was in prison. And she went across this country and over to Africa and Brother Nchawi out of New York and the work that they've doing. I think you probably know them. They're coming out of the East. You know the East, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. So there are other people who are involved in Kwanzaa, and it's, you know, not his alone. And I think for many of us, we're upset at times with Malana Karinga for how he has done and what he has done. You know, like when the Postal Service, I know they gave him some money, and he was going around the country promoting the stamp. And on the stamp, the colors on the flag. And he come up with some rationale about that. That's not, you know, that's the kind of stuff that angers people, you know. Mm-hmm. He came up with some other bull about the flag. And so, but once again, the Kwanzaa celebration, the Kwanzaa principles is ours. It's not his. And if he wants to do something different with it, that's his business. But for those of us who understand the liberating principles of Kwanzaa and by instilling it into our everyday lives, because that's what we're supposed to do. Kwanzaa is supposed to be not just from December 26th to January 1st. Kwanzaa is 24/7, 365. You think of unity, self-determination and liberation and sovereignty, right, and cooperative economics. Those principles are in everyday life. The creativity of us, so that's the bottom line, Brother Jay.
I'm surprised he never copyrighted it. That's one of the shocking things that, you know, have always surprised me, because the way the cracker has commercialized
it, that's true,
to the point to where as it is what it is, you know, surprising. But then again, you know, I may be wrong, but I know in New York, Kwanzaa isn't like it was 20, 25 years ago. It's not the celebration that it was 25 years ago, because at one time in New York, when the cultural movement was more at its heyday, Kwanzaa was a real big thing. I mean, you would have programs basically in every borough except Staten Island. You may have one program in Staten Island, because, you know, Staten Island is the place for all crackers. But Brooklyn, oh man, Brooklyn was the spot, man, as far as Kwanzaa go. Harlem had a nice little representation. But when you in New York talking about Kwanzaa, it was Brooklyn. It definitely was.
Well, listen,
I don't even think you had that much in the Bronx. But,
well, we're going to talk,
you know,
about
the beautiful thing is the beautiful thing is that, you know, it's still representative.
Yeah.
At this time in our development,
as it should be, and we're going to talk extensively about Kwanzaa, but we're talking about a program, the Brothers of Kwanzaa, and a program that is helping to help transform our youth and to work with them.
That's what it's needed for.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why we're talking with Brother Ramesses.
But look, can go ahead to someone else, and I'll try to hold on. Hopefully I won't get another call.
All right, Jay. Thank you. Sister Nabantu, Mama Nabantu, are you there? Okay. I know Mama Nabantu is organizing Kwanzaa here. And I know I'll be talking to her within the next few days, because we're organizing Kwanzaa at the New Black Wall Street Market. Also, too, Brother Kenneth Zaki at the Art Exchange and a few other places. You know, once again, I remember Kwanzaa in Milwaukee, and probably one of the biggest Kwanzaas we had when we had it at North Division. We had so many entertainers, and we had the magician, you know, the Spellbinder out of Chicago come in. I mean, we had it going on. I kid you not. And we had a full house, hundreds of people, you know. And I know that the pandemic hurt a lot, you know, in terms of a lot of activity, because we couldn't do anything for the last few years. But we're coming back. What do you think, Brother Ramesses?
What's your question specifically?
Well, my question is still the importance of Kwanzaa and the importance of the organization Brothers of Kwanzaa.
I think that it's important that we're brave enough to build something from scratch that is uniquely ours,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
For our intellectuals to come forth and build new practices and traditions for us to honor as a people, that's key. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in that we begin to identify value for community and for each other. You know, instead of just simply adapting what other people have done, which could be the critique for a lot of religious beliefs and that they've originated in other parts of the world or with other cultures, you know, but mm-hmm. when you find something that was created uniquely for you, it seems to serve you best. Right. Because it confronts issues that are signature to people like you.
Right.
Whereas there takes some grafting and there takes some modifying and some changing to make it fit your particular reality based on the conditions that you and your people suffer from. If it's a religion that has been developed in another part of the world. Right. And mm-hmm. that's been a major critique of mine. But ultimately, I feel like that needs to happen. Religiously, economically, socially, intellectually, we need to continue to develop things uniquely for ourselves by ourselves.
I say,
you know,
that's what I advocate. You know, this radio program, African Perspectives, and that's what we deal with. We deal with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto of the program is Pan-Africanism. Or perish, unify, or die. And that's serious, because when you look at the situation, if we don't do these things, that's what will happen, you know? And so it's incumbent upon for those of us like yourself and many of the callers and listeners to actively participate and step out of your comfort zone and work with a young person, you know? Talk to young people. Assist them, motivate, inspire, and guide them. Everybody can do something, you know. And mm-hmm. I know that for my many years, you know, I was a firefighter for over 30 years, and I know I worked one day and off two. Well, on my off days, that's what I did. I went to schools and talked with young people, you know. I coached football. I refereed basketball. I did a number of things to continue to involve myself with young people, hoping to make a difference, hoping to enlighten them, you know. And of course, by doing that, I wanted to make sure, just as Baba Kelsey said, you have been consistent. I wanted to be that mm-hmm. model. I don't want to say something to you and next thing you know, oh, I'm sorry, dude, I didn't get a chance to do that. No, if I said something to you that I was going to do, believe me, I was going to do it. And that's the thing. We need men and women of their word. That's important, you know.
Well, your philosophy is infectious, man. I mean, I caught the bug. You know, I felt mm-hmm. like the only way we would make progress as a race is if we are solid. You know, if there's some sure. binding agent between what we say and what we do. And for me, it was honor, you know, having yes. a sense of credibility.
Yes,
and
good point.
Even if you make small efforts, you know, in those small efforts, if that's all you said you could do and you did that, hell, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we aren't asking everybody to be Marcus Garvey. We aren't asking everybody to be a major contributor to the race. I think, you know, a loved one of mine said, it's about building a wall. You put your brick in and you leave it alone. I mean, if that's all you can do, if that's what your resources permit you to do, your time, your energy, mm-hmm. Your determination, if all you have is a little bit of time or a little bit of resources, mm-hmm. then do something within those resources. But when you say you do it, make sure you do it as
that's
if
right.
your life
that's right.
depends on it. Yeah.
All right. Brother Ted.
Bubba Oshie, first of all, good afternoon,
good afternoon.
To you and to your guest, Brother Ramsey. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, Brother Ramsey, were you part of the Black Boys Better program that just was held a couple of weeks ago? in Atlanta?
No, I was not. I wasn't aware of it, but can you tell me more about it?
Well, I just knew one of the speakers, Dr. Terrence Roberts, who was one of the Little Rock Nine. He's a psychiatrist in the Atlanta area. So I was just trying to wonder, as I was listening, there was a program that gathered boys together, right, and had that kind of type of dynamic that was going on that you were speaking of. So that's why I wanted to ask, were you part of that? The other thing, because I'm here in Montgomery, Alabama, and it's really tough, I guess, if you're not in the kinds and types of circles, religious circles, cultural circles, Divine Nine circles, et cetera. And so the thing about it is, I guess I'm doing this on an individualized kind of as I come across young boys, young men to try to talk with. Is this a kind and type of program that can be started from its organic stages?
Yes.
And developed into something?
Can you repeat it one more time?
You said, is it? Okay, go ahead, Brother Oshie. You got to take it away.
No. Yeah, I interjected, Brother Ramesses. I want you to make sure that you can tell Brother Ted Luss out of Montgomery, Alabama, how that program works. So go ahead, brother.
Yeah, is that a program that can be started organically from ground zero and built up to something?
Absolutely, if the need arises, meaning if you see that there is, like the brother who called and said there's a rash of violence in his area and these young people are perpetuating it, that is a place where our program is needed, because these young people don't have the purpose. You know, obviously, if they had a better purpose, then they would be doing better. So if you see that there is a need in, say, the school system, if there is a problem with attendance, a problem with behavioral issues, this program has been proven over 20 years, proven to improve those performance indicators in the school system. And it can also be adapted in group homes, in correctional facilities. We've created this learning module that walks you through the process of setting up your own program step by step, because we realize that it is valuable. It served a purpose in Milwaukee, and we want as many communities as possible to benefit from that.
Your website again, sir?
It's www.brothersofkwanzaa.com.
Got it.
There you see it? Okay, great. And that podcast is one that features Brother Oshieme. And that was, you know, one of the reasons that prompted my call. I really wanted to thank him for lending his efforts to us.
Very good. I'll be listening. Thank you, Brother Oshie.
Always.
Thank
always.
You so much,
you know,
Brother Ted.
Thanks, Brother Ted.
Thank you, Brother Ramsey.
Yeah. You know, I think it's important. In fact, we're going to do this again, Brother Ramesses, to get and push and promote it, because what you're doing with Brothers of Kwanzaa, you know, taking it to this particular level, and I know Brother Brax is very happy with it, is getting Brothers of Kwanzaa more exposure, because that's what it needs, you know. And so I want to be a part of that assistance, you know, to help Brothers Kwanzaa. And I'm on the website now, and I see his mission and becoming ambassadors, and about Brother Brax and what Kwanzaa can do. And it has the episode that were the many of us and everybody was members of Brothers of Kwanzaa, and now they're doctors and they're doing all kinds of stuff. They're working in.
Pardon me if to interject here, but not only a doctor, and this is one of our members here. He graduated valedictorian. He's not only a doctor, but he's also a lawyer. So high achievers. You know, this turns out great individuals.
Right.
This program does.
Yeah. Right, and such as yourself. You know, yeah. I'm. Well, I was impressed with the number of young men, because what I've worked with over the many years is young people who needed some help of getting on track. Some really bad young, you know, some bad dudes who really didn't want to be there, but knew they had to be there. Sometimes the court made sure that they were there, you know, not necessarily because they understood that they need to be there or their family, you know, put them there, but that they just wanted to do things on their own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but we need men to be that kind of model in programs like Brothers of Kwanzaa. And so if you have a program like that and it's working well and good, and I hope it continues to do so, you know, but that's the bottom line, that we need these kind of programs where men and women are giving of themselves and being that kind of model, and they're being Jagnas, real Jagnas, who are willing to share information, look at the young people that they're talking with and dealing with, and see the progression, you know, that that their words and their deeds and their influences had. And also, too, to expose them, to take them places. That's the thing about Kwanzaa, Brothers of Kwanzaa. You guys went places, you know?
Man, listen, he took us through the route through the Underground Railroad,
yep,
well into Buffalo, New York, and into Canada.
Yeah.
This brother did that on his, you know, with yeah, him and the help of other brothers that believed that it was something worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
They put this together, and they did it more than once. They did
right,
it again, I think, three or four more times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's an experience. So not only do you know intimately about the Underground Railroad, you know intimately of what our brothers and sisters had to deal with, you know, tracking at night from sundown to sunup, so you got to hide the rest of the time so you don't get caught, you know. So you guys dealt with that, man, and other museums that you've gone to. So those are the things. And in order to do those things, you also need some benefactors. You need some people that are willing to support that financially, let alone, you know. So I tell you, it's important, man. It really is. And I thank you for doing what you're doing with Brother Braxton and really helping to make this thing, taking it to the next level. You know, exposing more people and going across the country and maybe even going across the pond, you know, talking with Brother Paul and seeing something like that could happen. I know that we're definitely planning a trip to go to the UK. Maybe you might be one of the brothers who go on this trip with us, Brother Ramesses, you know.
Hey, you let me know when and where, man.
All right. We'll definitely do that because I'm going to definitely stay in touch, you know. That's for sure. Once again, brothers and sisters, you can give us a call. We still have a few minutes left. Sister Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Greetings,
good my afternoon, sisters. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and greetings to your guests. I was very, you know, I had to stop for a minute what I was doing when I heard the word Kwanzaa. And, you know, I represent the co-chair of the Atlanta Kwanzaa Regional Association, and I wanted to know, are they doing Kwanzaa celebrations? And you do that in addition to the programs you do year round?
Did you hear that?
There have been, I did, yes.
Okay.
There have been instances where there was a Kwanzaa celebration. OC, as a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, did you do the libation at one of those ceremonies?
Yes, I did.
Okay, can you tell us more about it? Do you remember what year that was that they did a celebration?
I can't remember. It was a while back. And I know that in Milwaukee, just as I said earlier, that you know Kwanzaa continued to build just like it did in other parts of the country. And we had a tremendous celebration. You know, my first Kwanzaa was just like the Kwanzaa that most people have in somebody's home, you know, and those were beautiful. They were intimate you know, and they did them every night for a few hours and talk about the principle of the day and so forth and so on, had a meal and so forth. And so I did that. But then when they started doing them publicly, And in Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Black Historical Society with Claiborne Benson. We got to thank him for definitely keeping it alive. The African-American Women's Center in Milwaukee, they kind of piggyback on each other. And then they started doing Kwanzaa opposite days so they can have Kwanzaa every day, you know. And I'm involved in that. In fact, I remember one year, Sister Soulja, when she was going strong, she was our speaker, you know, mm-hmm. Sister Soulja.
And the reason I'm asking is because our website has expanded to include Kwanzaa's out, not only in the Metro Atlanta region, but last year we were able to capture Kwanzaa's that took place in Florida, D.C., California, Detroit, and a few other states.
I'll
and
say.
We started a go-to directory because people travel during Kwanzaa season. Mm-hmm. And I know when I went, I have one child, a daughter lives in Houston, and I needed to find out where the Kwanzaa was, and I did. They were at the Shrine of Black Madonna. Of course, yeah. There were others.
Mm-hmm.
But when people travel around, you know, it's a good place to go to find out where the Kwanzaas are throughout the country.
Yeah.
So you're doing it. So I was wondering if he knows something happened in Milwaukee to send it to our website, which is KwanzaaAssociation.org. Spelled completely out.
KwanzaaAssociation.org. I'm going to do that because I know Brother Claiborne Benson of Wisconsin Black Historical Society. He's been doing it consistently for over 30-something years, 40 years. Yeah.
Yeah, that everything became, because of COVID,
right.
A lot of them were
right.
Zoom. But then in the last year, many of them have become hybrid. Mm. So we are capturing those that are face-to-face as well as their hybrid links. And it goes on to our website.
I'm going to do that ASAP so I can get that to you so you can put it on the link. And I'm not sure if the Wisconsin African American Women's Center, because they're going through a leadership change. I'm not sure of them, but I know Brother Claiborne because he's adamant about keeping it, you know, going because he understands how important Kwanzaa is. So,
your guest, I'm not sure if I got his name right.
Ramesses.
I'm looking at the web. What is it?
His name is Ramesses.
Ramesses.
Okay, because I've gone through the website and I see a lot of great things there, and seems this should be a model for every single major city that has a large population of African people.
I agree.
And we'd like to put that website as well so that folks know this is a good example, because we always talk about it's more than just 7 days. I've been celebrating since 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And so example. People need to see examples of things that are going on throughout the year and some successful things that are happening. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you, my brother.
Right on.
Thank you so much. And I was looking through your website, as a matter of fact. You mentioned that there's a directory for who's celebrating Kwanzaa. Is this on your site? Because I'm...
Yeah. Right now, we're still collecting. If you go to submission, that's when you add on. So a lot of them are in the queue, and we have two sisters who take what's in the queue and put it on the website. So I need to call them and tell them, because I know at least 7 events are taking place. And then I also coordinate the New Black Wall Street here in Stonecrest, Georgia, 6 days of Kwanzaa. So I'm putting together, and I meant to give that information to you, Brother Oshi.
Right.
Because you're...
I got the email you sent. Not the email. Yeah, I got the email you sent.
You're
I got
on
that.
Two different days.
Right.
So you're with Sarge, and you're also with another day.
Right. I'm with Sarge.
You know. Mm-hmm.
And
so,
also
anyway,
too, my brother Kenneth Zaki. You know, at the Art Exchange.
Yeah, I got all of that. It's in the queue. It just hasn't got on the site yet.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
It should be in. Everything should be in there by Monday.
All right. Thank you, Mama Nabantu.
Now, Mama Mbantu, I wanted to ask you a question before you go. If you don't mind just sending us an email once your directory is complete, because in the spirit of collective works, I think maybe I could host your site, you know, send a link, you know, for our visitors to our site in case they're wondering who's celebrating Kwanzaa and where. I think that your resource would be something we'd like to promote on our site. So
no doubt.
Please send us an email at brothersofkwanzaa@gmail.com, and that's Kwanzaa with one A at the end.
I will do that, and I think this is all in the form of Ujima, collective work and responsibility and collaborating with one another. And I'm all down for collaboration. Everything I do, I try to collaborate because there's no point in me spin the wheel, you know?
I agree with that.
I say.
Okay. Yes, I do. Yeah.
All right. Sister Habia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and happy pre-Kwanzaa. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to Brother Remesis.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the program today. And so you are practicing the Nguza Saba with all the work you're doing. I mean, it's encompassing it all, from unity to faith to collective work and cooperative economics, all of it. And so that's awesome. And one of the things that I was inspired by what you said was that you said that, you know, when we spread the word to the people, you say, do you believe in these principles, these seven principles? And we focus on that, the strength and the power and the positivity and the upliftment of that, and not focus on the negative aspects of some allegations that have been made about one of with Coringa. I think he did some good work, and I think we all did good work, and we're uplifting all that.
All right.
I agree with you. I think that we shouldn't lose faith in the mission itself and what it stands for, right?
Right.
All right. Well, listen. Yeah. You know, we're at the top of the hour. We're out of time, since that be us.
Okay. Well, Pan Africanism, repeat the Pan Africanism.
All right. BB Fortier. All right.
BB Fortier. All right. Wonderful show. Dante.
Thank you. All right, Brother Ramesses. Any closing remarks, my brother?
Well, again, I want to thank you on behalf of our organization and myself personally for having me and for being so solid, being present. Engaging the youth, being active, and continuing to fight the good fight for our race. You know, I regard you as a champion myself, and I hope that, you know, you continue to fight this good fight. As a matter of fact, I don't have to hope it. I know it, because you've been doing it as long as I've known you. There's nothing that's going to turn you away from it. And secondly, if anyone wants to know more about our organization, please visit www.brothersofkwanzaa.com. And that's the same for our email address, brothersofkwanzaa@gmail.com. Thank you again for having me, brother.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A good weekend. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB Fortier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend, family. See you on Monday. Peace.